The following podcast was recorded on Friday, September 23rd, 2022, featuring Sam Rhines of Arbor Data Science. To hear the podcast in real time, you can sign up for a free trial at arborresearch.com or by emailing Gus Handler directly at gus.handler@arborresearch.com. You can also call Arbor Research and Trading at 1-800-606-1872. Thanks for your time and enjoy the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of Talking Data. I'm your host, Kristen Radish with Arbor Research and Trading, joined today by our commentator, Sam Rhines of Arbor Data Science. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Kristen.
Good to see you today. We're interested to hear your thoughts on the upcoming midterm elections and where markets should focus. There's a lot of current events right now with Ukraine, global energy and food crisis, lingering COVID lockdowns. What will the market focus on the midterms, given all the pressing matters that are going on?
And that's kind of the interesting part here, is the market's unlikely to focus on the midterm elections until they're almost here. We have a little over a month left before voting on November 8th. And that to me is kind of the way to think about the midterms. Keep them in the back of your head. Kind of understand what's going on, but don't try to kind of run ahead of it too much, right? There's too many potential headlines ahead of that. You know, what's going on with China's lockdowns is top of mind. What's going on with the Fed and the Fed's mission to crush inflation? How is that affecting jobs? Are layoffs going up? There's more than call it, you know, what's going on in a Senate race in New Hampshire. Top of investors' minds, and for the right reasons, but that will change come probably early November, late October. But it's worth kind of, you know, keeping it in the back of the mind, not keeping it at the fingertips for trading.
You've got a chart that we want to bring up. When you look at the betting odds, do they point right now to a current split House and Senate?
They do, yes. And this is a big change from the beginning of the year. I mean, the beginning of the year, it was going to be a red wave, and you were going to more than likely see the GOP take the House and the Senate. That was kind of the base case. And betting odds were, I think, 80-20 and for the Senate. And that was lower than the odds for the House. Just the odds were pretty much spot on. There was nothing that the Democrats could do to retain a majority whatsoever. And that has begun to change, and it began to change slowly and then all at once, call it late summer, kind of the August timeframe, when it became a little bit more clear that the Senate wasn't necessarily going to fall to the GOP from Democrats, and that you may have a better likelihood of a split government. That, you know, some of the trend actually really kind of coincided with the peak in gasoline prices, right? As gasoline prices began to decline, that really increased the chances that the Democrats, or helped the Democrats, have some sort of narrative that helped them kind of retain the Senate, or at least have odds to retain the Senate.
What's a market's general reaction if we do get a divided government?
Markets love divided government. Stasis is a good thing in politics, right? When you don't have, markets don't like volatility, they don't like unpredictability. And when you have, call it a singular or a dominant party in power, it allows them to do a lot more things that you might not anticipate or predict, right? It allows for an agenda to be put in place. When you have split government, it makes it much more difficult to get anything large and real done. So markets tend to like predictability, and when it comes to divided government, that increases the predictability.
And you touched on how big of a role gasoline prices have played. What about inflation overall and food prices?
Yeah. So, you know, one of our favorite sayings is that consumers look at two things, gasoline and groceries, when it comes to thinking about inflation. So when consumers begin to see gasoline prices fall, not necessarily see grocery prices fall, but begin to see their bill at least stay flattish and not continue to increase and increase and increase, it begins to give them a little bit better of a feeling, right? It tends to be a tailwind to consumer sentiment Particularly when you see a number go from, call it 250 to 550 back to $3, you begin to have a sense that things are normalizing and that, you know, they could be worse because we remember it being worse a month ago.
What does it matter? What are people not paying attention to that may have a big impact?
And this is where I think, you know, it's impolite to talk about politics across, you know, in almost every setting, right? You try to avoid it at the dining table with friends and family. But where politics becomes really intriguing here is the knock-on effects, right? We always want to look at what the potential knock-on effects are for markets and call it policy in general. And this time around, the election, particularly if these odds hold, is a much more interesting election than the typical one. There's two reasons. One, we've seen a significant amount of fiscal stimulus. We've seen, call it the threat of continued fiscal stimulus, all in the middle of the Fed fighting a pretty staunch inflation battle. When you have fiscal stimulus and you have the threat of further fiscal stimulus, it tends to be a tailwind to inflation pressures beyond what you would normally have without it. That potentially helps the Fed a little bit if you have nothing coming out of Congress, right? If you have nothing coming out of the House and Senate in terms of a big spending bill, that takes some of the pressure off the Fed. It allows them to potentially actually win the war on inflation a little bit faster than anticipated. And it at least allows the narrative that you don't have a fiscal thrust coming that the Fed is going to have to fight. There's a pretty good example right now of the exact opposite happening in the UK. And you just had Truss become the prime minister, announcing a fairly significant fiscal stimulus package right in the middle of the Bank of England attempting to get inflation under control. And you had their yields moving by 50 basis points in a day. I mean, that's, I don't even know how to describe the insanity of that move. So they're causing significant, you know, the UK government is causing significant problems for the Bank of England that the Bank of England's going to have to fight. And so you're going to have tighter policy and higher rates in England to offset the fiscal stimulus pressures on inflation. And it kind of creates this negative feedback loop for markets in general. So I think when you have the, call it the not Truss effect in the US, that could be a quiet positive moving forward. So as long as we hold for a divided government, I would say that it could be a mild positive for the Fed, who has been fighting fiscal stimulus measures for the past 6 months.
In summary today, Sam, what should we be watching for next?
I think we should be watching for, you know, kind of quietly what happens in the UK. I think that's a pretty interesting case study in what not to do in the middle of a tightening cycle. If we begin to hear similar things coming out of the US, particularly if it's two-sided, right? Call it a competing package from the GOP and a competing package from Democrats, that could potentially become an issue down the road, become an issue for yields, become an issue for the Fed, and cause a significant tightening cycle beyond what's already priced in.
Thank you, Sam, for your thoughts today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you have any questions for Arbor Research, Bianco Research, or Arbor Data Science, you can contact us by emailing Gus Handler at gus.handler@arborresearch.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.